You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Are you ready for this, Nancy?
I am.
Okay. And I'm glad you brought this one up, because I really honestly, I've read this passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 13 so many times, but I didn't really stop and think about this until I saw your question. What does it mean that love is greater than faith and hope?
Yes. And, you know, this whole idea of love and how we throw it around and how people are singing about it and in all of this. Of course, we're just coming off of Valentine's Day, but I just thought it was such a good question. And I think when we get into it, hopefully today, it will change the way we think about love and really challenge us in how we are living out the love of Christ in our lives. And I think when we talk about love, we go to 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, that's just kind of the go-to. We had it in our wedding. Actually, we weren't even believers when we were married, but it was just probably, if you've been to many weddings, you no doubt have heard 1 Corinthians 13, and I just picked verses 4 through 8, that say love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And then we go to the end of 1 Corinthians 13, that piece there. That says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And the question is, you know, what makes love the greatest? And I think as we look at it, we need to understand that love is essential. It is the air we breathe, really. It is the engine that drives faith and hope, because without love, faith and hope would not exist. And faith is something that has no love is an exercise of futility. So you can have faith in a lot of things, but without love, it is not lasting. It certainly doesn't have any eternal qualities, and hope the same. Without love, there could be no hope. So how can we hope for something we don't love? And just think about that for a moment. Unless both faith and hope are bathed in love, they are worthless. And I think so many of us, myself included, we put faith in ourselves or in other people or in things, or in the same with hope. But really, without love, long-term, that's a path that is not going to take us where we want it to go.
Well, let's do this for the sake of my understanding, all right? Let's break this down, because there's three words that are spoken here in this scripture that are key, right? There's faith, hope, and love. They're mentioned
right
together. So let's begin with the first one. Why faith? Why is that the first in this list?
Yeah, and it's a beautiful word. Faith is essential to God. And the sweetness of faith, it is, in Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So it's essential, faith, the faith component, that when we give all, when we put everything in Him, we rely on Him for our daily, you know, activities, our thoughts. That kind of faith is what pleases God. And Hebrews 11 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. So that is what faith is all about. And that's the beautiful part of the Christian, the whole Christian theology, is that God is beckoning all to come to Him and believe and trust. And that's what's so beautiful about faith.
Okay, but we can't leave out hope. So what's the significance of hope in this trio of words?
Yeah, you know, we hope we're going to get presents for Christmas, or we hope that we were going to get a good Valentine's gift or whatever. But hope in the biblical sense is quite different, you know, because it is filled with confidence. It is more than just a wish or desire, but an unseen assurance that we know. We hope because we know. I hope that Jesus is coming back. I know Jesus is coming back. The question is when at this point, but that hope, that assurance. And Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith, hope, and love are often listed together in Scripture, because the glue there is love, of course. And I think John Calvin puts forward a reason why love is the greatest gift. And he says this, because faith and hope are our own. Love is diffused among the others. Faith and hope are to the Christian's benefit, but love is always directed outward to God and to others. And that is what's so beautiful, because as fallen humans, we have absolutely no capacity to love others with the love, that perfect love that comes from God's Holy Spirit. God is love. We first love because he loved us. And we can then respond. And it is through the love of the Holy Spirit in us that draws others to Christ. It's not our cleverness. It's the Spirit working in us and through us to others. In John 17:26, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. That's God's desire, that his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come and live in us and draw, when people see us, then of course, hopefully, they'll see some joy and some hope and peace that they too would desire.
Our question of the week is, what does it mean that love is greater than faith and hope? But you say love gives life in our spiritual gifts, our relationships, work, our being. What do you mean it gives life?
Yes, because it's the driver. It's the glue. And, you know, I listen to you guys in the mornings, and I just love it, because you two can banter with each other. You have amazing gifts of communication and this and that and the other outside of Steve's problem of reading digital clocks. But the thing is, you guys love each other, and I know for a fact that you would do whatever is humanly possible to help each other. I know you pray for each other, and that just shines through. And it's this kind of thing. The love within just shines out in all of our relationships at work or wherever we are. If my gift, for example, is teaching, and I don't love those whom I teach, then I will promise you the students won't want to hear one thing that I'm saying. Not one thing. And I know, sadly, teachers that don't like kids, that's a problem. But do you see what I mean? I mean, if I work only for material gain and notoriety, then my life, when it comes to an end, I will understand, as Steve Jobs did, that money and personal gain did not give me peace nor a place or a hope for heaven. And I think what God is screaming to us, lovingly screaming to us, is that, look, I came that you would have life to the full. Life does not work without my love. That is what he is telling us over and over and over again. And he's telling that because God is the very nature of love. He is the definition of love. And he made us in his image to love him and ourselves in a healthy way, not love ourselves, but honor ourselves, take care of ourselves because of who created us. But we are called to love and obey God and to love others and serve them. That's our purpose in life. And I'm telling you, if you serve people and try to be a good person, that's a road that's going to lead to futility. It's not going to matter, because unless God is the engine behind it, it's not going to work. And, you know, I know many people, I think, and hopefully we all do, who love well. And I think they should be the ones we're looking to. They are the ones who are slow to talk about themselves and quick to listen. They are the ones who encourage and who actually pray when they say they're going to for others, and who sacrificially serve without desiring any notoriety for a single thing. They don't have to tell others they're Christians because there is something different about them. They radiate that love. Their love for God has no barriers and no ulterior motives but to love God and obey their Savior. And this is what's so cool. And God has called all of us to live well and love well. And we see this in John 15:9-17. Just listen to Jesus's plea. And when he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You did not choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. So clear. This is right there, John 15.
It truly is very clear. But why is this now so important to live out faith, hope, and love through difficult times where others can see us following the words of Christ?
I think I just think that the church as a whole, we're talking about believers, are in a state of some confusion and depression and anxiety. I mean, we're not talking about non-believers here. And I just think, being a skeptic for so many years, this is our greatest opportunity to evangelize, to reach out to a broken world who too is anxious and worried about tomorrow. You know, and I think we need to ask ourselves, is our walk with Jesus consistent even on our bad days, in these bad times when nothing seems to be going our way and the future looks dim from a worldly perspective? But to live out our faith and hope and love in difficult times sends a huge message to the world that our faith in God is real. Our God is real, and he is in control, and he has got this. And I'm not talking about always having a smile on our face, but I am talking about when God is real and active in our life, we will have that peace and assurance that God is in control of all things. And we can't hide that from the world, you know. And the way we live, I have to tell you, matters to God, especially because skeptics, seekers are watching Christians in everyday life. You don't get to choose when people are watching you. They are watching you at work, they're watching at church, they're watching you all over the place because they're looking for hope. And God has put you on earth so that through you, God can reach people. And I'm going to just say this outrightly. Seven, many reject Christ because of the bad behavior of believers, the superficialness of their faith. It shines through. And that to me is just something that we have to look at, especially when we're talking about love and who God has called us to be. that this matters. And if you are one of those people, I mean, ask your kids if you emulate Christ's love. Ask your friends to be accountable to somebody. But I think author and preacher Daniel Darling said it right, and it's hard, but he said it right. He says this, 1 Corinthians 13 is not simply a nice passage to put on wall calendars and mugs, but rather a warning shot to believers, to a church that has become a cesspool of selfish ambition and sin. Paul says to them and to us, if you've lost love, you have lost everything. And that is startling, but it's so true. And God wants us. He's not begging us, but his greatest desire is that we become, as he said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And I just think that we forget our call here. And our call starts in our homes and in our families, that we've got to be light for them. We've got to be that mm-hmm. standard of truth and hope that God gives us. Because, you know, to think God wants to use us, as crazy as we all are, it blows my mind. But because he does, it gives us an opportunity to really step up to the plate and be different and be a light and a voice. We all have a voice.
Yeah, for real. And, you know, as crazy as we are, and that you mentioned that, Nancy, the fact that he uses us anyway speaks volumes. So there you go. I hope that ministered to all of you. Biblical Worldview Question of the Week. What does it mean that love is greater than faith and hope? Nancy Fitzgerald, you can get connected with her and her ministry, Anchors Away, by simply clicking on the Resources tab at kellyandsteve.org, or you can always go to anchorsaway.org. But get connected and get your kids involved, too. They're going to need all the help they can get in this world. Nancy, we'll chat with you again next week.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.